As we move on in St. Luke's Gospel over the next coming weeks, and then we will conclude our year's reflection on St. Luke, and we will begin in December a year's reflection on St. Matthew's Gospel. In coming to the end of St. Luke's Gospel, remember Jesus is teaching what it is to be a disciple, what it is to be a follower of his. And in this parable today, he talks about an attitude, a way of thinking, a way of seeing that is to mark his disciples. There is no doubt that the Pharisee was a good person. He lived an upright life. He practiced the work of religion. There's no doubt that he was an observant believer. But what is clear from his prayer is that his focus was on himself. His focus was on his goodness. His focus was on his works. Almost as if his goodness and his works were the bargaining chips that he used in his relationship with God. Almost as if to say, God is good to me, and I will be good to God. It was a very different story, though, with the tax collector. The tax collector understood very clearly what he lacked in life. The tax collector understood very clearly that all that he was in the hand of God. The tax collector understood rather clearly that he came with empty hands. He sought the mercy of God, and he trusted that by the power of God, he would live. Jesus said to the people, now this one went home justified, and the other did not. Justified. That's a particularly churchy word, or justification. What it really means when you boil things down to their definitions, to be justified in this sense is to be in a right relationship with God, to be in a true relationship with God, to be in an honest relationship with God, to be in a relationship with God that has integrity. That's what it is to be justified. St. Paul will say to us in a whole variety of places that by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are justified. That through the action of Jesus Christ, you and I are brought into a right relationship with God. And for each of us, that relationship grounded and rooted in the death and resurrection of Jesus, began in the sacrament of baptism. In the sacrament of baptism, we were plunged into the mystery of Christ. Now, baptism isn't a once-for-all action. Baptism is an ongoing reality. You and I are called to live our baptism. that relationship between ourselves and God is to be a growing and a deepening relationship. That right order between the creature and the Creator is to sink more deeply into us day by day and week by week. In one sense, God willing, we are more baptized today than we were the day the water was poured. The sacrament of baptism is a dynamic, ongoing reality. It is about relationship. Well, Jesus is saying in this parable that relationship that you and I have with God is truly a relationship in which all that we are and all that we have is the gift of God. That unlike the Pharisee, we do not come before God with something of our own. We come before God laden with the gifts that God has granted us. That our very lives, the very breath we breathe, is God's gift. And to grow more deeply in a sense of that is what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. To recognize that our very identity is bound up in that right relationship with God. You see, in one sense, the Pharisee forgot his identity. He forgot where he came from. He forgot what life was about. And as sinful, or as much as an outcast that the tax collector was, the tax collector knew very deeply what his relationship with God was all about, and understood very well what it meant to be a creature. Well, what motivates, then, the human actions, the good works? What motivates those good works for the disciple? Emilio, you're tired, aren't you? Did adults ever tell you that God was watching you? Have they? Do they tell you that a lot? Yeah. They always tell that to boys. My mom told me that. And I thought she told me that because she couldn't control me. And the neighbors couldn't control me. And the St. Paul Police Department couldn't control me. And by the time I was 6 years old, I had a criminal record. I vandalized the neighborhood. When I went off to school, those houses, the price of those houses rose because this kid was gone. God is watching me. That's what she told me. And I thought, now why would God want to watch me? I mean, what does a little kid do that God could be interested in? God's got a whole world God can watch. Why watch me? Well, then I grew up, and I learned the truth of what my ma was trying to say to me. God was watching me, and God is watching you. You, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all of us. God is watching you because God loves you so much that he can't keep his eyes off you. Is that pretty good? Mm-hmm. He loves you so much that he can't stop looking at you. And that's the lesson that every single one of us needs to learn. Because that's the lesson that grounds us. That's the lesson that anchors us in that right relationship with God. It's not that I've done anything. It's that out of God's graciousness, God loves me and has blessed me, gifted me, graced me in a million different ways. And so the posture of the believer is the believer comes before God in gratitude and thanksgiving. And so the believer prays because the prayer arises out of a deep sense of this right relationship with God. The believer uses the talents and the gifts received for the good of others and for the glory of God out of a deep sense of this relationship with God. The believer shares the financial wealth that he or she has out of a deep sense of gratitude that all that I am and all that I possess has been given to me as a gift. That's what the believer does. That's what the disciple does. That's the attitude that Jesus is talking about. The attitude that underpins, that undergirds the actions. That was the attitude that the Pharisee didn't have. The word religion comes from a Latin word. The Latin word is religare. And the word means to be tied to be bound to. The religious person is the person who is bound to God. Now, part of the problem is sometimes we forget who's doing the binding. What the Pharisee did is he believed that he bound God to himself. All these good works entitle me to something. What the tax collector realized was that he was binding nothing, that God was binding him to himself. And in the book of Hosea, God talks about how he binds us to himself. He says, I use strands of love. And that the harness with which I bind my people is the harness of my love. And that while in that harness, my people move about, nevertheless, I am always holding on, lest they be lost. Now, the image that Hosea the prophet is using is the image that you and I see at the state fair every year. You see parents with little kids. And what do? Some of these parents have a halter around the shoulder of the kid. And they've got a rope so that the kid doesn't wander away. So the kid walks around, the kid's got some freedom, but mom or dad is holding on to the string. That's not a string that imprisons, it's a string of love. It's a string of care. It is the parent binding that child to herself. lest that child be lost. That's the image that Hosea uses as he talks about religion. That's true of all people who espouse a religion. Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, whatever. Fundamental in all of those belief systems is the conviction that God has bound us, has claimed us, that God truly loves us. Well, this is the time of the year when we do our stewardship renewal. And this coming week, tomorrow, I will send a letter to every household in the parish inviting you to renew your stewardship for the coming year, 2008. But before you do anything with that letter, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take some time and sit down and think of the ways in which the love of God has and still does fill your life. Think of all those instances where you have been graced and blessed by the love of God. Think of the implications of God fixing his eyes on you and loving you so much that he can't take his eyes off you. I want you to do that first. And then out of that sense of God's love, then it's time to think about ways in which I can express my gratitude, my thanks, for the generosity with which God has loved me.